Last Lord's Day evening, we spoke upon that great text here of rebuke in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? I was constrained as I was praying and seeking the Lord for the message tonight to come back to that text and take a second look at it in a different way that we looked at it last Lord's Day evening. Those that have believed savingly, thank God, have everlasting life, and they will never, ever perish. The living water which they have received, according to God's unbreakable promise, springs up into everlasting life. What the Lord promises His people will always be completely and totally answered and fulfilled. They shall not perish, but they'll have eternal life. However, we must all have clear, honest, and sincere heart searching to make our calling and election sure. The situation with His followers at this time in our Lord's ministry was one that came to the Lord to challenge concerning their loyalty to Him, the Prince of Peace. Treachery was being exposed. Many were turning away completely from the Savior and His messages, and demonstrated this publicity by walking no more with Him, by seceding and separating themselves from His disciples. The challenge which Christ faced up to in this question which he asked goes to the rock bottom of the situation. This matter has to be brought out into the open. The real truth has to be uncovered, and the soul that's been soul searched by God must face up to the scrutiny. The truth must out. There can be no hide up, and there can be no concealment. The bare truth, unpleasant though it be, must be opened up so that all can see. Our Savior was the Savior and is the Savior of absolute honesty. He is the truth incarnate. There is no concealment of any type or manner tolerated by Him. Let's look at the timing of this question. The timing of this question is strange and yet not strange. You see, the large crowds that once followed the Savior, largely because of the miracles that He was doing, they were no more. Note the Lord's exposure. Many there were of the crowd who withdrew themselves from Him. It doesn't say that. It says worse than that. It says many that were of His disciples. These were not hangers-on. These were those who visibly and publicly and by word of mouth were vocal in the vow of allegiance to him. But I'm sure the devils in hell shrieked with hell's glee. The religious showed what side they were on. These religious people were certainly not on the Lord's side. Actually, at the very center of the specially chosen and hand-picked 12 apostles, there lurked a Judas, devil-possessed and a traitor. The storm clouds started to gather for our loving Savior and the one who is our sacrificing Redeemer. The shadow of the cruel cross and all its darkness, suffering and shame was upon him. The waverers had to be exposed and named. Let all who name his blessed name, who once for sinners shed his blood, depart from sin and count it shame to live like those who know not God. What kind of persons should they be whose names appeared enrolled above, the people whom the Lord makes free, to whom he manifests his love? What kind of persons should they be? How blameless should their life appear, who hope the Lord in heaven to see and dwell with him forever there? What hope so blessed and so bright, of heaven they well may think and talk, but being the children of the light, as children of the light they should walk. The sons of God they well may scorn, the highest honors here on earth, to heaven's eternal honors born, to stoop would ill become their birth. And when a few short years are past, what's promised now will then be given. A goodly portion theirs at last, the glories and the joys of heaven. I trust that that will be the portion of everyone who hears my voice this night. Sunshine is not always the climate in which the work of Christ is carried on. Extremely bad weather at times strikes the old gospel ship. The warmth of revival is often ousted by the ice of treachery. We should ask ourselves the question, will I fight on, though at the moment the battle is against me? Have I the wit to refuse to surrender when the majority have committed that sin? Will I stand with the handful, or will I stand with the majority? Will I, like thousands before me, be frail and fickle? Worse times are coming. I hear those chilling words from the lips of my loving Savior. Wilt ye also go away? Alas, alas, the day came, and of them all it was written, they all forsook him and fled. Note it was the leaders who engaged in this treachery. Note carefully the words of the Son of God. As I have already pointed out, it is not written, from that time many went back and walked no more with him. It is written, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Christ is not talking here about the hangers-on, the mere camp followers, or the hungry, He wanted to be free fed by the loaves and fishes. No, he is talking of those entirely different. He is speaking of those who still call themselves, as he calls them, his disciples. Alas, there are those who do not leave off in honesty their identifying clothing. They mingle with the treacherous enemies of Christ, but they still wear the King's garments. In other words, they wear Christ's identity labels still, but they have become slaves deceived by the devil himself. How heavy and terrible will their punishment be? The damnation of such apostates is dreadful to behold. If you now live in Turncoat Road, my friend, be a man or a woman. Cast away all of those things that would still identify you with the Christ that you have betrayed. Mr. Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, says, "The memory of your profession will stick to you through life. It will also stick to you through all eternity." If you are a wolf in sheep's clothing, some flecks of wool will hang about you after you have dragged the fleece over your head. Damnable apostate shall be your brand even when you are cast away from the face of the Lord God forever. Oh, that none of you may ever earn such a title by being reckoned among his disciples who went back and walked no more with him. Let the ray of the Holy Spirit shine into your inmost soul. Make sure you can stand the test in time. For be assured of this, that in eternity the light shall turn up and expose all iniquities. The issue was plain. Christ alone was the food of the true believer. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." Put God's measuring word beside your heart. Let the Holy Spirit search your inmost soul. Make sure that your faith is a genuine faith of a soul who has sought and found the Lord and is walking in conformity to his commandments. Oh, my hearer tonight, I warn you, ditch your own wisdom. Embrace the wisdom of God. And Christ is the wisdom of God. Note the publicity that the sin of these people met up with. They went back and walked no more with him. Think of it. Those who stood with him when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Those who stood with him when the lepers were cleansed and the sick were cured. Those were with him when he fed the crowd on the 2 small fishes and the 5 barley loaves. They went back and walked no more with him. Before this time, they publicly identified themselves with Christ. They walked with him. They were united with his followers. And they published the fact, "I am a disciple of Christ." And then suddenly, deceived by the devil, they turned their back on the blessed Son of God. A tragic end had now come. They went back. They wanted no more to do with Jesus. And his teaching they repudiated. Their constant support was publicized, but it now came to a sad end. Nothing was hid. This was a public demonstration. Out of the apostolic band, in the band of the 12, one was a traitor. Out of the total of 12, one was arranging to leave and bring the end to the whole business. A great preacher has asked the question, is the percentage today in the church any better than when the Lord himself was on earth? Is it true in the church that in every 12 members, one is a traitor? Is it alarming to think of that percentage? That was the percentage when Christ himself was on earth, demonstrating his power and his co-equality in the Godhead. I say to you, there's a higher percentage of evil apostates in the world today than ever was before. It's not in every 12 you'll find one, but in every 12 you'll almost find 11. We live in an evil day. The devil has not changed. The power of the devil to drag those who profess faith in Christ but were not truly converted back to the old ways. The sinful hearts of sinners, it hasn't changed. The weakness of the Christian hasn't changed, and it's still the same. The lust of this old carnal, hell-ruled world of ours is still the same. There's no man, no woman, no boy, no girl can declare, I will not fall. I will not turn aside. I will never betray my Savior. I will not bring dishonor to his cause. The person that boasts, I fear for them, for their temptations that have overcome in the past the strongest believers in Christ. I am no match for the devil, and neither are you. We must cling close to Christ, and we must heed this word, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I've been in this church a long time now, and the time has passed. I've seen people come and go in this city, and I have witnessed the fall of those that profess faith in Christ. I've seen them tragically fall. And I have heard the lament of Christ, will ye also go away? The Lord put this question to the whole of the disciples because he knew it needed to come home to every heart among the 12. To become a traitor will bring down the wrath of Almighty God upon your head. The Lord is saying here, if you who have been with me and been close to me and observed me and heard what I said and saw how I lived, you who have seen my miracles and heard the melody of joy in my speech when I spoke about heaven and the thunder of God in my speech when I warned about hell. If ye turn back, your condemnation is sure. You will have earned the gallows like Haman, and you will taste the curse that fell on Judas for betraying Christ's innocent blood. You will be sinners above all sinners. If it were possible, this awful sin would topple the faith of God's elect. But thank God that's impossible, for the faith of God's elect standeth sure. It's the rock of ages. Let me tell you, I have spoken to in my ministry and counseled and prayed with many, and they all, one by one, apostatized from the faith of the gospel and became the enemy of Christ and the enemy of those that love the Lord. I have been staggered. I have been shattered. Hence I must press with the greatest urgency and solemnity Christ's question to you tonight: will ye also go away? It's much better to die than to deny the Lord of heaven. Finally, let us consider Peter's speedy response. Peter was the first to give an answer. He said, "To whom shall we go? There is no other way to heaven. Thou art the way, Lord Jesus. If I go not with thee, I will end in the flame of hell. There is no other way to go, to be sure I'm saved, and to be sure I'm safe." Peter went on to say, "Thou hast the words of eternal life." Christ is the Word. The Word of eternal life came from Him. His words are the truth which sets the sinner free. Salvation is nowhere else but in Christ alone. Come to God, and let us cry to God. He will brand us with the cross of Christ from head to foot, for we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. You see, there is nowhere else to go, and there is no eternal life but in Christ, and in Christ alone. Then Peter said, "We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Mr. Spurgeon, in one of his sermons, said, "Fierce has been the duel between the infernal cruelty of paganism and the splendor of God within faithful men and women in their own day. Look even later down at our Marian persecutions, when Smithfield was aglow with the death of the saint. But how gloriously those believers defeated all their adversaries. We read of a holy woman, and when she was bearing a child in prison, she cried out in labor, and her torments exultingly demanded, 'If you cannot bear the birth pangs of your child, how will you bear when we burn you alive in a few days' time?' And that woman, in her agonies of giving birth to her child, said, 'You see in me, who am a woman, the feebleness of nature. But wait till the day comes, and you will see in me, who am a member of the body of Christ, the strength of grace, for I shall never start or cry when I'm burning for Christ.'" And they took note that when they brought her out and lit the fire, She never flinched. She never winced. She never cried. She didn't even stir. But quick to the death, she burned in her faithful confession of the Lord whom she loved. Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful, Spurgeon writes. Christ laughed at his mightiest enemies, but his spirit rested upon the poor, feeble saints and strengthened them that they were more than conquerors. Think of Anne Askew, whom I often quote, our own Anne Askew, sitting up after they had wrecked her till every bone was dragged from its fellow, and still defending the faith against Rome's shivelings. She stood firm to the end. And it says that the people said, no doubt the Lord of hosts was with that woman as she paid the price of our fidelity and faith to the Lord Jesus. If Jesus be indeed the anointed of the Lord, he will anoint us all in the time of need. And because we believe and are sure that it is even so, we are bold to say tonight, no, Lord, we will never leave thee. Though all men forsake thee, yet will not we. Not because we're strong, but thou art strong. And with thy help, we shall run the race. We shall finish the course. And we shall keep the faith. But what shall I say to you, dear friend, who don't have any faith? You're out in the wilds of sin and the wilderness of the fall of Adam, and you're hastening on. You're nearer to a lost eternity than ever you've been in your life. Soon will the season of rescue be over. Soon will you drift to eternity's shore. Yes, then, my friend, there's no time for delay. But throw out the lifeline. And let's save them today. Dear unbeliever, turn in mercy to the Lord. There's mercy with him. His blood is all powerful. His grace is all strong. And his company is all heaven. May God help you to call upon the name of the Lord. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for this time of preaching. We thank thee for the solemn warning word. And we tremble, Lord, for we know our own weaknesses. But we thank thee that Christ is greater than every weakness. And he can make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Strengthen your people to be at their best for Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those here who are lost, bring them to yourself. Wash their robes. Make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Grant that they may learn to trust thee as our own and personal Savior for time and for all eternity. Work thy work of grace for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.